We cannot let their voices stifle our cause. This political crisis puts our head in their jaws. History is upon us. We've seen this before. We can never allow freedom to exit our shore. Good afternoon and welcome to the Trump Chronicle. I'm your host, Ray Brookstein. Ladies and gentlemen, the historic 50th anniversary of the momentous American achievement of walking on the moon and coming back to Earth. This was the vision and challenge John F. Kennedy made to our nation in 1961. I was a 9-year-old. From that moment, we celebrated every rocket launch. Cape Canaveral became a household name. The Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo missions built upon one another and reached its crescendo on July 20th, 1969, when Neil Armstrong became the first of the human race to step foot on the moon, fulfilling the challenge set out by President Kennedy. Of course, JFK never lived to see the accomplishment as he was assassinated in 1963. I was 11. Of course, time marches on. Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King were murdered. There was the Woodstock Festival, Vietnam, Watergate, the microchip, and the internet. And so many events changed the course of history. Presently, we are witnessing the opposite of American achievement. It appears that there are agendas to rewrite and erase history. Patriotism and nationalism, so prevalent when I was growing up, are under attack today. American exceptionalism has become a nasty word. So I've invited two guests to join me to discuss where we've been and where we are going. Irene Peduto is from New Jersey, is an activist, mother and grandmother, who also lived through these events. Molly Day is from Texas, a huge Twitter influencer, also a patriotic mom and grandma, and also had some firsthand family experience with the recovery of the space capsules after the mission splashdowns in the oceans. So welcome, Molly. Welcome, Irene.
Hi, Ray Ray.
Hey, good morning, Ray Ray.
Good morning. I'm really glad both of you are here. You know, Molly, you like me, you lived through the space race with the Russians. Funny how things haven't really changed that much. The Russians are always still in the news. So I'm going to pop a little pop quiz. I hope you don't mind. I can be a little bratty. But let me ask you, what was the name of the Russian spacecraft? And who was the Russian cosmonaut that they talked about?
It was the Vostok, I believe is how it's pronounced, one. And it was Yuri Gagarin, who was the cosmonaut.
Very good. You get an A+.
All right.
And do you remember those events as you can recall? I know it's a long time ago because we're talking, what was the original spacecraft that went up to start this whole thing?
It was the Sputnik. Ah. And I remember it vividly. I happened to be wearing my Brownie uniform for the very first time. And it was 1957. And I saluted the flag very proudly. And then over the intercom, we got the news that the Sputnik had been launched. And it was just very exciting. There was no space race in the conversation. It was news. It was accomplishment. And it was so exciting. And then we carried it forward to when the first Russian cosmonaut went and orbited the Earth just one time, about an hour and a half, I think, a little longer. And everybody, again, was very, very excited about it.
It really was something. That space race, or what was called the space race, captivated all of us. In fact, I remember in the movie The Right Stuff, there was a monkey that went up Do you remember that? I mean, we sent up, and I guess, I don't know if we sent up other animals, but I remember seeing the monkey. Did that monkey have a name?
Well, he wasn't a monkey, actually. He was a chimp.
Ah.
And his name was Ham. And he was named after the Holloman Space Medical Exploration at Holloman Air Force Base. And his handler and trainer was a good friend of mine. Dr. Marvin Grunsky. And so through our friendship, I got to know an awful lot about how Ham performed when he went up there, and he paved the way for the next flight to be a human being, because he was experiencing the same G-force as the humans were going to experience. And since Ham lived through it, we took the next leap and put that human being into space.
You know, Irene, I think you'd agree with me that the USA was awash with a sense of patriotism at that time. Do you remember that feeling of patriotism, and why did you feel it?
It was the most amazing time to be alive. I was 21 in 1969. I just had a baby in February. And this happened in August. I was kind of stuck around the house. I couldn't really get out too much in the evening. And the news was consuming, just watching this, watching the moon landing was the most amazingly wonderful achievement that we Americans had made. And it was just to brought our country together. We were united. It was, the patriotism was outrageous. But it lasted a very, very brief moment.
You're right. You know, I remember just a few weeks later in the summer after the moon landing in July with Neil Armstrong, that the Woodstock Festival happened in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Well, that's what happened. That created a counterculture immediately. It was an immediate.
Exactly.
There were 500,000 strong there, and the protest was to, I don't know, they said Vietnam, but it was just to being a counterculture, just to saying, you know, F you to the man, and, you know, showing that they could show some camaraderie and they could be strong and they could be united. And they were all being led around by their noses, by the rich elite kids who just knew what to do. They just knew what to do. We had Patricia Harris and Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn, the Underground Weathermen. It was tumultuous. And the divide began then. And this is the manifestation of it today.
It really is. I mean, those achievements that NASA made was so amazing. Mm. I mean, seriously, when I say captivated, there wasn't a launch that we didn't stop in our tracks to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I personally went up to Central Florida, what they call the Space Coast, where Cape Canaveral used to be. Now it's the Kennedy Space Center. And I witnessed John Glenn going up in the space shuttle at age 77. Now, remember, he was one of the first astronauts to orbit.
Mm-hmm.
And we had ticker tape parades all over. And, of course, there were tragedies. There was the Apollo 1, there was a fire, there was also, I think, a problem in the Gemini mission. And, you know, Mercury was the first, that was one person. Gemini was two, kind of like the astrological sign, and Apollo was three. So it was really quite amazing. But when you watch, like, the movie Forrest Gump, and he's involved with the Black Panthers, you saw that dichotomy of here he is, a kind of a patriotic guy, and he gets involved in with the Black Panthers, and he says, gee, I'm upset that I upset your Black Panther party.
Yeah.
And it was really funny. It was comical. So Molly, you were a brownie.
Yes, I was a brownie.
And Girl Scouts were Girl Scouts at that time. Now look at what's happened.
Oh my goodness. Boy Scouts now taking girls. Oh my goodness. Why put them together? Why not still have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts? what they accomplished. I have a couple of Eagle Scouts in my grandsons, and to see that program fall apart based on what they've done in this counterculture we live in is heartbreaking for me, because I still have four young men that are in scouting that will never achieve Eagle.
Oh, how sad.
That's really a shame. And I know that that was just a great accomplishment for a person, I guess, around the age of 14 or 15 to achieve Eagle Scout.
Well, I think my grandsons both were 16 when they got their Eagle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, their grandfather was on the USS Hornet when two of the splashdowns occurred in July of 1969 and November of 1969. And you saw the pictures. I mean, I've got slides of it happening. And you saw the men all in formation on the top deck of the aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart still, right now, is so full of patriotism because of that accomplishment. We knew that in the space race, we were moving forward. Again, even at that age, I was 21, probably. I was 20. And I just remember feeling, this is America, and we are moving forward. There was just that momentum that we felt as Americans. That counterculture wasn't interfering with what I was seeing quite yet.
Not yet.
Not quite.
It came pretty rapidly. I mean, we had the Vietnam protest. I was on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania. We were taking over buildings. Things were happening. And then the Richard Nixon got involved with Watergate. And the next thing we knew, he resigned. I mean, there was a lot of tumult coming off of all of these accomplishments, the beginning of the atomic age, getting out of World War II, the atomic bomb. I mean, it was supposed to be a golden age. And we had, developments growing all over the United States. I grew up in a town called Levittown, which is kind of iconic. You know, William Levitt built these track homes for the returning GIs. Mm-hmm. And you know, they named my middle school Jonas Salk. Jonas Salk, he found the vaccine for polio. My high school was General Douglas MacArthur, the famous war hero. So Americanism and patriotism were right there, and it started to awash in a cultural revolution. So we had the beginning of news at that time. Irene, do you remember Walter Cronkite?
I do, and I thought he was a trusted reporter. I valued his judgment. Everything he said, I thought was true.
And now look at it. For our conservatives, you know, I can't even turn on sometimes CNN or CSNBC. It's just, it's become so politically gamed that we just don't know what the truth is anymore. But you're right. We felt a sense of believability in them. Molly, do you remember the Huntley-Brinkley report?
Oh my gosh, yes. I waited like with bated breath. I loved the news. I loved hearing what was going on in America. And I trusted these people. I had absolutely no thought in my mind that they would not be telling me the truth, that they would be politically motivated to tell me an untruth, to get me to think one way or another.
You know, and then there was radio. Thank God for radio. And here we are, 50 years later, Ray Ray on the radio. And I used to listen to, in New York, 77 WABC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Irene, you remember that. You grew up around that, right?
Of course. And 7:10.
There wasn't a day at the beach that we didn't hear, you know, that blasting on what were they called? Transistor radios.
Yeah.
That in itself was unbelievable.
That's because we went from vacuum tubes to transistors.
You know, you think about the accomplishments, the American achievements, electricity, the railroads, connecting America. I still believe today that the railroads are so vital to our country. Not the way it's being talked about with the Green Deal, but these were like the arteries that connected our country together so that you could move to Chicago, you could go out west, and even to the electric light bulb or Marconi. There were so many great American achievements. And to tell you the truth, you know, when they planted that flag on the moon, that meant so much to Americans. And now we had the movie that was recently made where they cut that out. How did that strike you, Irene?
You know, I would not go to the movie because of that. I wrote something to reject it. And I don't know, I think about America being, I heard Bill Whittle recently speaking about it, and it was a great idea, that America is really just a concept. It's just an idea. And it doesn't matter that if you live here or you're born here, there are people who feel the same way that we do, that you should live free and that these things are God-given. But being in America gives us a greater advantage because we can enjoy those opportunities, those freely free God-given gifts. Americans really don't appreciate that anymore. These kids think that socialism is the answer, and the whole concept of the Constitution. And when I was working in the district, a teacher said to me, "Do you intend to wrap yourself in the Constitution forever?" And that was the first time I even heard. I was like, "What?"
Yes, to think.
Of course, we do.
Oh my gosh.
We need to continue.
I never thought such an idea. Of course.
Yeah, did you ever think that you would unwrap yourself? And here we have people trying to pull that flag off of us.
Well, that's exactly what he was saying then. He called me comrade. And I was in my 50s, and I have to say, I was blown away. And it was prevalent in the high school that I worked. I was in an urban inner city school, and they were teaching that America in the history book was the greatest threat to terrorism in the world. And it was in the books. I read it.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, now they want to, in what they're putting history on computers as opposed to books. You know, we've done away with a lot of the paper stuff. The Holocaust is like a drop-down menu. If you want to read about it, you can, but they're not going to really educate you on it. It's something you've got to go searching for. Trying to erase history.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that.
I mean, it's just like it's like not having that flag in the movie. They say if you repeat the lie often enough, it's truth. And that's, we can't go with that.
You know, I want to finish up this segment, you know, talking about the space race and everything that's happened in the last 50 years. And I just want to wrap the first segment with a poem. It's called John Glenn. Oh, what a hero. What does it take? Taking the steps which few of us make. He soared through the sky, hurtled in space. He circled the earth, putting fear in its place. He flew at a time gilded with grace, gave us an edge so we could win the space race. We were just children, stricken with awe. Our John's on a rocket, a blast from the floor. We honor this man, Astro Senator Glenn, and at age 77, he would do it again. He gave us the spirit, delivered a country with pride. We are ever so grateful having him on our side.
Yeah. spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Patriots. Through his widely acclaimed poetry books, The Trump Chronicle, Ray Ray has preserved for us these historic events that have surrounded the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. His fervent and patriotic poems capture in real time what could have easily been lost or forgotten. The Trump Chronicle is available on Amazon or through the America Out Loud bookstore. Pick up a few of these memorable books for your library. They are a must-have for our MAGA movement. Let's support this important patriotic poet and show host so we can continue to read history through poetry.
Irene, how did that poem strike you?
But it was very emotional.
Why was it so emotional for you?
Because if I talk about it, I'll cry again, but it was momentous. It was how I felt. It was how America felt. We revered him. He was our hero.
He was a hero. And Molly, you know, he became a senator, which really, when you think about it, there was a time some years back when about 70% of the Congress were retired military. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that number is about 18%. So we revered our soldier senators. We revered their leadership. And they basically were 70% of Congress. Now it's completely flip-flop. What did you know about John Glenn, Molly?
He was a great patriot. My former husband, being in the Air Force, we got to experience the gathering of Eagles at Maxwell Air Force Base for about 3 years in a row. And Senator Glenn attended every year. Mm-hmm. And when Jim went to retire ahead of time, I sent a flag up to the state of Ohio to Senator Glenn's office, and he had his retirement flag flown over the Ohio State building, and then he very graciously took it over to Ohio State, Jim's alma mater, and had the flag flown there. So when Jim retired, I presented him with this flag that had been flown by John Glenn. He had actually had it in his hands, and Jim was just speechless when he was given that flag.
Wow.
You know, giving that flag, I mean, I have a flag that was given by our county when my dad passed away. They gave him like a 21-gun salute. He was a diminutive man, but he was a courageous fighter. The elder members of my family tell me what a soldier he was. And he wrote a lot of letters back from the front. Interesting side story is that they were always intercepted. They couldn't just write a letter back from the front. They had something called, and this is really interesting, V-mail. V-mail. You know, we think about like email. Well, they were V-mails, and they were all translated, because secrecy and was very important. Leadership was everything. Privacy was understood. Now there is no privacy. I mean, we think about everything that's happening today in terms of the news. I mean, Irene, how in the world did Donald Trump get elected president?
He knew the pulse of America. He worked with people. He worked with people who were just commoners. People who were just normal people. He knew the rich and the famous, and he knew, you know, he was a builder in New York City. He had to deal with a lot of people who were wheelers and dealers and politicians, and he knew, and he got to know what their secrets were because he was with them.
Yes.
But he also knew who we were because he was with them too. And he is a genius. he said a couple of things. What have you got to lose? And I'm with you, and you know, otherwise you're with her. But I'm with you, and things like that. And of course, his technology. Son-in-law, he had quite a group working behind the scenes, making it look like it was just riding by the seat of his pants.
Molly, do you think that, you know, he's, we hope that he gets the second term, right? We're looking for 8 years of Trump.
Absolutely.
Is this, and somebody said this to me recently on a recording. They said, well, what is this? Is this going to be just an 8 year bump in the road to socialism?
No, I think that Trump, with what he's accomplished just so far, has guaranteed that America is going to stay strong, that we are going to be patriots and have pride in nationalism for years to come. I feel that my grandchildren's future is secure.
You think another 4 years will solidify it?
Absolutely, yes.
What do you think he has to do to continue this agenda? Because now we're seeing just about every day this squad. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, going after him. They try everything they can. They've been doing this for 2.5 years. Are we getting fatigued from this, Irene?
Well, we are, but I was fatigued from the first moment. I think a lot of Americans are, too. But there are people, I happen to live in an area that's very conservative, but I spent most of my life in North Jersey. And there are people who really and truly believe that Donald Trump is you know, all the bad things that you hear of him, they believe because they believe the propaganda. The free press is an illusion. It's not free. It's owned by billionaires who have a certain particular point of view, and that's what comes out. And they say the same things every network, every day, consistently. It's always the same. Fox News is some variation, but otherwise, Rush Limbaugh, you know, otherwise, it's the same.
Well, thankfully, radio has always been in the hands of conservatives, which is a remarkable thing. I know I've heard people say that conservatives have kind of sat by the wayside and let the mainstream media control this thing since really the 60s it started.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they used to have the Vietnam War at the end of each day. They'd have a report on the Vietnam War, and it was very graphic.
Yes, the numbers killed, yes.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
Right, they used to do the daily numbers, and we felt a sense of patriotism, even though there was a countercultural movement to end the Vietnam War. And then we saw the ramifications when the vets came home. And, you know, they were spat in the face, basically. It wasn't very nice. They couldn't get jobs. They were looked at as pariahs. And this was all started the decline. The founding fathers did so much for our country. Now, some people would say, well, it was just a bunch of white men.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Somebody reminded me the other day that, you know, white is also a color. And
yes,
it was very funny. Somebody said, gee, I'm white. I'm colored.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to be colored white, but we're also a blend like anybody else.
Oh.
And I'm really getting tired of this.
Right.
You know, gender politics and race politics. Our founding fathers foresaw that everyone should be created equal. That is the deal. And they've bastardized this, excuse the French, haven't they? I mean, the news is poisoning now.
Well, the news is illusory. I was so propagandized. I was a Democrat until the 9/11, which sent me scurrying to find out how did I not even have any news about that. I watched the news every morning before I went to work. I thought I was well informed. And so what happened was I read this book called Bias by Bernie Goldberg. And that's how I learned that I was listening to propaganda. And it just, and he would give you exercises and I did them at night. So my God. And I'll tell you, I just recently had another Ronald Reagan I thought was the reason that the homeless people, you know, people were thrown out of the hospitals, because I, in those days, I listened to that media. And I found out that recently that it wasn't Ronald Reagan, it was the insurance companies that did that. But of course, the mainstream media distorted it. And so I'm still getting propagandized information out of my brain.
Molly, how dangerous is the internet?
It's lethal. I have, as I said, 14 grandchildren, and every one of them are on there with Snapchat and Instagram, and some have Twitter accounts. And if I don't sit them down and show them factually what's going on, they've got different ideas. When Trump had his first summit with the leader of North Korea, I sat three of them down and explained to them the importance, not what they were hearing on the news, and then subsequently other meetings with him, what Trump is trying to accomplish, because the news isn't putting it out there. We aren't hearing on MSNBC that Trump is trying to make it safe for generations and generations to come.
No,
they make it. They make it all about bad about Trump. And
I wonder
it's
what
not
the,
about that. It's about America first. Remember that. America first.
Now, Irene, you came out of education, correct?
Yes.
How have you seen that change over the years? What we were taught versus what our children are going through right now?
It was interesting because I attended school as a student in the same city I later worked as an educator. So I really got to see how it changed profoundly. But the biggest changes happened when I got to the high school, and I saw that they really and truly, there were a lot of men in the high school versus the women in the grammar schools. And the men were a lot more activists, and they were union, and they were very pro the group and this whole comrade thing. And I saw that America was being, and when these kids turned 18, their favorite teachers gave them this wonderful paper that they were now entitled to vote, and they registered them as a Democrat and welcome. And it was like, I actually saw the machine in work. And
wow.
Happy birthday, Democrat. Yeah.
That is truly amazing. I can't believe.
They cranked out hundreds a year.
We're cranking them out.
And just in that section, I just mean that school, that one school was hundreds a year. But just that one, there were five in the district.
Go ahead, Mom.
Let's go back to 1967 when I graduated from high school. Everybody I went to high school with, no matter whether they were the cheerleaders or the football team or whatever, the majority of them were going on to become school teachers. Hmm. Fast forward 50 years, we have our reunion. All these teachers and educators, we all get together. And amazingly, they all were leftists. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. There were a small handful of us that were conservatives. But when they started out in education, they continued on that. And this was in 67, that they continued on indoctrinating their students as they taught them. And there were those that got their PhDs and were principals, and they were, one was a superintendent of schools. And I was speechless of what our kids have been taught.
I want to say that I saw when I was a teacher, 1980, and they started to separate girls and boys. And then they girls and boys are separated, but then they intermingle the lines because you can't separate by sex. They've taken the kids to the bathroom. They come, you create more chaos, but it was just, and you know, you didn't want to say Mother's Day and Father's Day because it wasn't right because there were kids who didn't have mothers and fathers. And you shouldn't say God bless you because there were kids who didn't have fathers. And you couldn't. And so as a teacher, I followed. I thought I was doing the right thing for the kids, without realizing that I was part of the problem they were creating.
On that note, we're going to take a short break.
spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We're seeing, you know, a whole change to like participation awards, you know, where it's not now, they don't like competition. They want everybody to be the same. And we're starting to see history being erased. I mean, the accomplishments that we've been talking about in the first two segments were about patriotism, about scientific technology, landing on the moon, the atomic race, the atomic energy. We've got the internet, the microchip, all of these advances happening. But now it's flip-flopped. It seems that the achievements have now been redefined over the last 50 years. What used to be, like I said, technological or scientific advances now are shifting to social achievements. Not what I call real achievements, but just moral or social achievements. For example, now you're judged on your sensitivity to LGBTQ, for example, or your sensitivity to women's reproductive rights, and you're judged how good a person you are based on those things. And if you're not, you become evil. And also immigration. Now, all of our parents or grandparents probably came from another country. Irene, is that true in your family?
Yes, for all four grandparents.
Molly?
Yes, Germany.
Germany, same with me. All of our great parents and great grandparents came through Ellis Island. Okay, they were legal. My own mother came from England. They were legal. They adopted the language. They learned English at all costs. And they viewed themselves as being part of a blessing to be American. Those achievements were heralded. Now you're judged on how you think you are. If you think you're female, you're female. If you think you're male, you're male. If you think you're in between, you're in between. Which is okay with me when it comes to overall equality, because the founding fathers set out that there should be equality. But now we want to erase the founding fathers. We want to besmirch the Constitution. You know, should we be tearing down a statue, for example, Molly, of Robert E. Lee or George Washington?
Absolutely. No, if we take down Robert E. Lee's statue like they voted to do in Dallas, what's to protect the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. from right. eventually being torn down?
There's no end.
It's incomprehensible to me. Like you said, there's no end. It's going to be little by little. Now, we had one small victory in the Supreme Court where they voted that the cross could remain.
Right. I remember that.
And if we're able to get the momentum going the other way to not erase history, that these monuments represent moments in time of achievements.
Correct.
Not to be embarrassed by them, but well, to learn from them and work forward.
Where I see the problem with all of this is we have this history of the United States. And really, we have the history of the world, whether it's the Roman Empire, the Greeks, or what have you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because there have been some ugly things, right? We know that. But it's part of our history, and it's part of what we need to know. But when we make a value judgment on a current value judgment on a past event, that becomes the dangerous part. And that's giving people the free, you know, will to destroy a statue down to its pad, move it, change it. Why? Because based on how you feel today, this is all part of what I'm talking about. Irene,
well, you know, it's,
go ahead.
It started with the Confederate flag. Everybody wanted the Confederate flag taken down in the southern states because supposedly it represented racism. To me, it never did. It represented a time in history that the flag was, that Confederate flag was the flag of those people.
Yes, it was. And whether the North was right or the South was right, I mean, there were still families. They believed in things. There was a civil war. There was a civil war for reasons. There was a revolutionary war for reasons. This is part of our history. We should not erase it. The way I look at it, and I'm as an author, one of the reasons that I set out to chronicle the Trump presidency through poetry was because it needed to be written before they burn the books. When they take down a statue, they're burning books, is the way I look at it. Okay, and this is no different that when they burned a pile of books in Nazi Germany, right, Irene?
Yeah, indeed.
You know, when you take history away, that is communism at its worst, or socialism, however you want to define it. When you want to take that history away, erase history, you're becoming a totalitarian state. I don't know how else to say it. How would you react to that?
When I was younger, we had shows like The Little Rascals, and you know, there were black kids in it who were characterized as, you know, now today they say, oh my God, that was horrible, and you know, the Amos and Andy and things, all in the family, things that we could put. Political correctness has been given to us, compliments of the left, and what they have done is crippled us with words. We're crippled. I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, well, maybe it's not, I thought LBGTQ, Q stood for queer, I thought. And so I said he was really very queer, and I was speaking to somebody who was gay, and the phone went dead, and I knew I said something, and she said, you know, that word is not acceptable. I said, I'm sorry, I'm off on my PC. I thought it was okay. But you know that, so you use a word and conversation halts.
Stops.
And you have to apologize, and you know, before you can move on. And I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, there used to be comedy, right?
Used to be.
There used to be comedy. Everybody would laugh. Laughing was the show we would watch. You know, hee haw. I mean, it was like, you know, hokey stuff, but it was fun. American stuff. Nobody attached these offensive meanings to it all the time. But now look at the comedy, Molly. I don't watch late night TV anymore.
Not even. I used to love Johnny Carson. And who was his sidekick? Regis Philbin.
Regis Philbin. I remember Ed McMahon.
Maybe in later years. Anyway, that doesn't matter. I just remember those times. I would special as a kid get to stay up with my mom and watch it, and how fun it was. As I got older, some of the monologues were still pretty good, but then I saw where it started getting very, very one-sided. And to me, it wasn't comfortable. I didn't like it.
Irene, has history been rewritten? About, for example, the Holocaust. You know, there are people that believe it didn't happen.
You know, when they say, never forget, 9/11 happened. My life changed forever. I'm grateful that my life changed because I became aware at such a horrendous loss. But I think that the people have forgotten. Because right after 9/11, a man by the name of Barack Hussein Obama was elected to show that we, you know, we forgive, and you know, we you know, we're beyond all of that. And he was absolutely out to transform America. He made it clear. He, in fact, every day he did, you know, the interesting thing is I hated what he did every day, because every day he undermined our nation. In the same way today, those people who are anti-Trump hate him because every day he's doing things, but the difference is he does, Trump does it within the law, and Obama did it outside of the law. In either case, I mean, one man was making America great again, and the other guy is out to transform her, because he didn't like it the way it was.
Molly, what would you say to the people that are moon landing deniers?
They need to go back and read history and look at photographs and to stand up for the truth.
One of the things that people don't realize about the Holocaust, when they went into the camps after the surrender of the Germans, Eisenhower made sure that photographs were taken, okay, at that time, so that, because he knew that who would believe that you could take these people, put them into camps, and then gas them to death in these gas chambers.
Ray, yeah, I know it happened because I had relatives. My great-great-grandfather was a triplet. He made it to America. The other two were in Hitler's Gestapo, and they were responsible for killing people. Mm-hmm. I have a very basic hurt in my heart for what happened in my history.
I know, but you know what, Molly? I can feel you. You know, the people who were in charge, they were held responsible in the Nuremberg trials and so on and so forth. Adolf Eichmann. But the rank and file had no choice. They really didn't, because it was kill or be killed. So I feel, you know, that is a stain that you feel, and I feel your tears. I hear your tears. Understand that there were some people that got caught up in it, and they had to go along with the party line. I mean, it's just been, you know, a series of deteriorations from this great feeling we had as Americans. And I guess my question, Irene, is how do we get it back where it's acceptable to feel good about being an American patriot?
How do you get it back? Right. Yeah. Wow. I see people who are doing these young, they're going to young school, kids of this program that Candace Owens is in, and Charlie Kirk, and Bill Whittle, and people getting the message out and to the kids, to the young. We got to get the message out. And people like me and Molly telling our grandchildren what the truth is and how important it is that they know what the truth is. And I think we need to keep immigration to people who really want to be here. The early Americans, my grandparents, they kissed the ground when they were kissing the ground when they got here.
Of course.
Exactly.
Of course.
Big difference.
It is. Now they spit at the ground, they raise a Mexican flag.
Oh,
so disturbing. It's so disturbing. But you know, there are always people that have hope, and hope is very, very important. We saw that hope, Molly, when we were in Washington, didn't we?
Absolutely. Okay. I find myself wondering, these people that are coming in illegally down at the border, how does any American stand up and say that these people have a basic human right to charge our borders? I don't know where you find that in writing.
Well, I think that the position is that the border is man-made, and people can be, it just doesn't matter where you're born, you can be anywhere you want to be, because you know the border isn't just a line, an imaginary line.
Now, where did we come up with sovereignty then? Why is our sovereignty not respected?
That's a good question. Every other country, it's respected. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine trying to jump a fence into China or Russia? You'd be shot.
You'd
be instantly shot with cause. So I guess we've softened so much. And like I said, the achievements, how we value success used to be more of educational achievements or inventive achievements or technological achievements. Now it's become you're based on your sensitivity success. Mm-hmm. And this is a real problem. You know, we talk about snowflakes, you know, I mean, it's a little bit of a disparaging term. I think you'll all agree,
mm-hmm.
but it's the only way we can describe this softness. It's a competitive world out there. I'm sure we could, the three of us, sit here and tell everybody how difficult the life we've had up until this point. We've all had our struggles, but the struggle is what makes you stronger. Now it's like, you know, okay, there is no struggle. Everybody's equal. The government will give us everything, and I'm going to vote for that. Not realizing how much you lose by not experiencing pain. Okay, we try to soften the pain, and this is what we've got.
That's true.
You know, and I look at the deterioration of achievements that we grew up with. It's like it's no longer needed, but it is. But I don't know what to do about it. You know, we've got a network here. We try to have a voice. We bring on guests. We try to bring up that it is important to that this is a fight, as my dear friend Malcolm always says on his shows, it's a fight of good versus evil. And there's a lot of evil, Irene, isn't there?
Well, you know, this Jeffrey Epstein situation's turning into being even more evil than anything we could have ever imagined.
By the way, he was denied bail.
Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful news.
Yeah.
Thank God. Well, he had a passport with another name. This guy, he's got all kinds of diamonds. He doesn't get out of jail free cards and how he made his money. And, oh, this is going to be, God bless America. God bless Donald Trump. Make America great again and drain the swamp. Wow.
I have a grandchild that has oppositional defiance disorder.
ODD.
And in working with him, I've come to notice that the Democratic Party is infected with oppositional defiance disorder in the true sense of its
that's great.
Meaning, in the true sense of its MS in 4 or whatever that book is. Truly, that's exactly what
like a real diagnosis.
It's a real diagnosis.
Yes,
ODD, odd.
The diagnosis.
Odd. Yes, they are. Yeah. They're odd.
They're very odd. And I've tweeted a little bit about that because the more I look at it, the more I become convinced that it's almost like they took the definition and became it.
I'd like to talk more about that, Molly, in the future. And I just want to wrap this a little bit. And first of all, I want to thank you both. You've been great friends and followers, supporters of everything we've done together. And thank you for coming on. I hope that achievement can be more central in everything that we're doing moving forward. A lot of these issues have become about because of the softening and the deterioration of history. And as they've said, if you don't, you know, watch history, you're going to be subject or vulnerable to repeat it. Now, Molly, we just got back from Washington, right?
Yes.
It was an amazing few days. We had, 25 people that we knew from Twitter, and we were all there. We partied together. We had a booth on the mall. We were selling the Trump Chronicle. How did it make you feel being in Washington with us the last couple of weeks?
My heart just swelled with pride every time I took a step outside. You saw a monument. You saw people dressed in red, white, and blue. You didn't see one person arguing their point. Now, of course, this probably happened a few days after I left. There was some protests going on. But for the most part, leading up to the 4th of July, it was all patriotism. It's interesting. I took a picture of the reflective pool up to the Washington Monument the day that we were out sightseeing, and there wasn't anybody on either side of the reflective pool. And the next day, I have a picture where 2.5 million people had crammed in to see President Trump.
Oh my God, were those the numbers?
What a great picture, contrast, wow.
Yeah, I have them both. And actually, I think they said the final numbers was 2.9 million.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
I would have been there.
What happened?
We had a party with a band, a country band, with over 100 people attending. Oh, please, it was gigantic.
Well, we had a party, and I want you to know that these 25 people that came together, nobody knew one another before we started, other than on Twitter.
Exactly.
How do you bring 25 people together, 25 of my closest strangers?
Good way to put it.
And we had a blast. We met people.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, I had an Uber driver that off the clock, he took us. After dinner, he took us on the nighttime Washington Monument tour.
Wow.
And every monument I saw, I had tears in my eyes. It's choking me up now.
I know.
The history of how this all happened. This just didn't show up one day, okay? Those buildings didn't just pop up like our buildings do now. They took decades to build.
So on that note, I just want to read a quote. Circling back to the space program where we started. And it was a quote by Buzz Aldrin. And I believe Buzz Aldrin was the number two man on the moon. And this is a quote. It all felt like that's what America is. What we can do when we are united in purpose. Apollo showed us that this nation, this America, can do whatever is required when destiny calls on us to unify, to step up. It was an honor to be part of Apollo. That was how I felt in 1969, how I still feel. This is a blessed nation, truly blessed, and we are all lucky to be part of it. I hope we never forget how lucky we are to be Americans. Love, Ray Ray, and a poem.